Good morning. Welcome to worship at Little Sitar. To the folks out on Facebook who are watching and participating as well. It is a joy to be here today. The bright sunshine, warm temperatures, this is kind of nice. I never really believed in the groundhog anyway, but it is nice to see some spring coming. People are talking about crocuses blooming already, and we were driving down through Lancaster County and saw the farmers are turning over the soil already, and they can't be wrong, so I guess spring is here. That is good to see. There's a registry of attendance on the inside of the pews. If you could sign it, that'd be great. I wasn't given any announcements that needed to bring special attention, but I do want to highlight Pastor Matt is having, we're doing an Ash Wednesday service, 7 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall. So I think that'd be great to come to. So please come on out, 7 o'clock on Wednesday for Ash Wednesday. Any other announcements that someone wants to bring up? I think we're good. So please rise and open your hymnals to 418 as we invite God to move in our midst.
Thank you. God is in the house, amen? He is living and active, and he is moving in our midst, no doubt. Invite you to share in any joys or concerns that you may have this morning. I've got a little boy over there staring at me who turns 11 today. Any other birthdays in the church this morning? I know Kyle turns, 17? Kyle turns 17 tomorrow? Kyle Yenser, 17? Yeah? So if you would do me the pleasure of singing to him, he would just be so embarrassed. And that's what dads are all about, embarrassing their kids, right? All right, on the count of three. One, two, three. Happy birthday. Yay. The big one won. Any joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning?
Well, I have my oldest boy turned 50 today. So.
All right.
But then I would like to say my daughter still has her pneumonia, and I'd like prayer for her, Tammy.
I would like to share with my church family, I had an abnormal mammogram this week, so I need to have a biopsy. And of course, you're always concerned that it's cancerous, so pray for me.
I'd just like to lift up our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. There were tremendous church burnings on Friday. The First Church of the Brethren that was established in Nigeria in 1923 at Garkida was burned to the ground, along with their hospital and other churches in the community. So there just continues to be a lot of violence. And I can't help but think, you know, what would we be doing if the town of Bethel was burned down or something because of violence? You know, this is what they're faced with, you know, day in and day out. We just need to continue to pray. You know, they still have great faith in God, and they, you know, rejoice that God is good. But it's a real hard thing to see these acts happening.
I would like to consider that Daniel is with us today, which is very pleasant because he has not been with us for this past few months. And that his seizure has stopped for a while, I think that's great. And may God still bless him as he's going through this.
Amen. We just also wanted to tell everybody, Herman's doing excellent. We just got back from, he won a trip for his sales years, and we just got back and he did great on the trip. And I think he's counting 8 more weeks till the corn planter rolls. So thank God we got him back on his feet. Thanks for all the prayers, the cards, and all the love.
God is so good.
My grandson, George Trott, he broke his knuckle. Well, he fractured it. And my other grandson's birthday is today. He'll be 23, so.
Sorry, I missed the microphone coming around. I don't know what I'm thinking. And I realized I didn't see Mary or Gary. So you guys may already know, some of you may already know from first service. Pray for a little girl named Hope from Lancaster Church of the Brethren. It's very weird how God works like this, that the moms can be together right now. But she was flown from Lancaster County on, I believe, Thursday or Friday, I forget what day it was. She's 7 or 8 years old, and she had complications from the flu and ended up with a sinus infection, which then traveled to her brain, and she had to have emergency brain surgery. So they flew her to CHOP. The irony is that the little girl, Violet, that we've all been praying for, who's at CHOP, that had brain surgery, and Hope's mother and Violet's mother are friends, and they're down there together. So on top of the prayers for Hope, or I'm sorry, for Violet, keep the Dunbar family in your prayers. Like I said, they are Lancaster County, Lancaster Church of the Brethren. She had, I believe, what was it, weakness on her one side, or I'm not sure all the complications that she had, but I guess she's breathing on her own now. But she's got a pretty tough road ahead because this obviously was not something that was a prepared surgery. This was an emergency thing. And Hope is doing much, or I'm sorry, Violet is doing much better now. She still has the feeding tube in, but she did move to rehab down at CHOP, and she is, with assistance, walking. We even had some video of her riding a bicycle. She still doesn't have any movement in her right arm, but she is progressing every day. She's lost a little bit of her language capabilities, but all these little things are coming back. But the biggest thing is a girl that had 100 to 200 seizures a day hasn't had one since the 31st of January. So keep them in your prayers and keep Hope in your prayers. Thanks.
Any others? Violet and Hope. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we still our hearts before you, and we recognize that you are God, that you are a loving God, you are a forgiving God, and you are a healing God. And Lord, you know the thoughts on our hearts and in our minds right now with those that are going through difficult times, whether it be a broken knuckle, whether it be a recovery from a surgery, whether it be just a touch of guidance and leading through these next several weeks, not knowing what the outcome may be as the results of a test. Lord, we just want to place it into your arms. And we know, Lord, that's the best place that we can place all things in our lives. For we know apart from you that life can be very difficult. But Lord, with you, we know that you give us a peace. We know, Lord, that you give us strength. And you offer us encouragement through the body of believers. And we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together and we can know that you are indeed moving in our midst. So we praise you this morning for who you are, for what you mean to us, and what is involved in saying the words, "I have decided to follow you." So thank you, Lord, that we can live in this world, but yet we can be set apart, that we can live as followers of you, and we can know by our actions and by our words that we are truly disciples. But Lord, we do know sin enters in, and we just want to pause and we want to ask for your forgiveness. For we know your Son went to the cross to give us freedom, to set us free from the bondage of sin. And we ask in the precious name of Jesus, you would hear these prayers and we would receive your forgiveness during these next few moments of confession. Father, we pray by name those that are on our hearts right now, and we know, Lord, that your plan is perfect. We don't always understand why things happen the way they do, but Lord, we just want to lift up Hope in a powerful way this morning and her family. We want to lift up Violet this morning and Tammy and Suzanne, and we want to lift up Herman and continue to bless him and allow the road to recovery to go well. We want to lift up George this morning with his broken knuckle and just bring his healing to him. And just thank you, Lord, for Daniel and his family's presence with us. We are so overwhelmed by the way you touch our lives and just impact us in such incredible ways. We thank you for our brother Carl and sister Christine, and thank you for our brother Rufus. And we lift up our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, and we just pray for peace. We pray for peace in the powerful name of Jesus, that you would sweep across that land and you would allow the evil to stop. And we just thank you, Lord, that they have claimed you and they know you and they live for you despite that persecution. So protect our Nigerian brothers and sisters and help them to continue to know and to live in your midst as they so graciously do each day. May we learn from them, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, for birthdays among us. And we just celebrate LaShane's life and Kyle's life and others that have had birthdays or upcoming birthdays. It's just great to know that you have blessed us with another year. But we pray that that year ahead of us that we get to live, we live for your glory and not to ourselves. So Lord, help us to be a blessing to others and help us to know you and to show you to others through the way we act and the way we speak. May we be an encouragement and may we uplift one another. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This is the part of worship where we give to God out of what he has given us. God has blessed us, and in gratitude, we give back to him as we worship. Jesus is pleased by someone who quietly gave everything they had. God wants us to give joyfully, not out of compulsion. Each should give as they feel led to give. It is our joy to honor God with the gifts we bring. Pray with me, please. Sovereign Lord, we bring a portion of what you have given us as an offering in this act of worship. We want to honor you as we bring these gifts. May our worship be pleasing to you. Amen.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome the children to come forward for a children's moment. Awesome. You guys maybe didn't see that picture that was the Vesper Hill. That's out at Camp Sotara that was up on the screen a while ago. I have some things in this bag I'm supposed to talk to you about being free in Christ. Do you guys know what being free in Christ means? Do you know what being free means? Do you know what free means? Okay. Well, free, there's been a lot of commercials lately about free, 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 free. And when something's free, you don't have to pay for it. But
that's not true. Everything costs. Nothing in the world is free.
There is a cost for pretty near everything. That is true. So
nothing in the world is free.
This picture was free, except we paid for the paper and for the ink. But other than that, it was free. I have this picture here trying to help us understand being free from Christ. So these kids look pretty happy. I like these kids. I thought they looked great. They looked like fun. I'm picturing them playing in their wagon and having lots of fun. So this picture, the opposite of being free is to be a slave. And the Bible tells us about being a slave to sin. So the picture represents us, and this marker represents sin. And the greatest freedom that we have is freedom in Christ. The Bible tells us we're enslaved by sin, and we have a sin nature. You know what a sin nature is? When you look at all these people, they look like pretty nice people, right? They do. They're smiling. They're happy. But you know what? They're selfish.
No, they're
not. They are. So am I, and so are you. It's sad. That's part of the sin nature. It's the way we were made. We were tiny little babies. We probably don't remember this because we were tiny little babies. When we were tiny little babies, we needed everything, and all we thought about was ourselves. If we were hungry, we cried. If we were unhappy, we cried. If we were not comfortable, we cried. And our parents had to figure out how to take care of us. It's pretty amazing that we survived because some of us cried a lot. And we're selfish, and that's what the sin nature is. It's that selfishness that's in us. So this marker is going to represent sin. And every time we sin, there's a black mark. How do you feel when you've done something wrong? It makes you feel kind of sad, doesn't it? Sad and not happy for sure. All this sin piles up, and we're feeling really bad. And right. Yep. Guilt. Guilt is something we feel. Guilt and shame are things that we feel when we've done something wrong, and we can't fix it. Right. There are some ways to fix sin. Sometimes we apologize when we've hurt somebody, and we get forgiveness from them, and that makes us feel a little better. But when we're this picture to be freedom in Christ is showing that our sin has entrapped us, and we're caught. It doesn't really talk about slaves, but I've seen a movie where there's these slaves that are in a wagon like this that are captured, and they're being taken somewhere they don't want to go. And that's kind of what it's like when we're enslaved by sin. Sometimes we go places we don't want to go when we're caught in sin. So now, this picture is us, and the marker is sin. I have this magic thing. It's not really magic, but it's called a Swiffer. You guys know what a Swiffer is, right?
Yep.
Oh yeah, Swiffer. These Swiffers
are pretty easy to use. You just swipe them and everything.
Oh yeah, you don't have to spit on them or anything. They're just they're really good. So this Swiffer represents Jesus. Jesus who paid our sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins. He paid for our sins before we were even born. He paid for our sins before we became Christians, before we knew him. That's pretty amazing. So Jesus, the Swiffer, comes along and he wipes away all that sin. And now we have a pretty picture again. The sin's gone and we are happy. And we can be happy. We have this joy. We have gratitude for being saved by God from our sins, by Christ from our sins. So when you use the Swiffer at home, remember that the Swiffer is like Jesus. It takes away our, well, it doesn't take away our sin, but it takes away dirt, and that dirt is what is represented as the sin.
I guess this one total sin the marker has glitter.
Has what on it?
Glitter.
it was used before for something, I'm sure. Okay, so the penalty for every sin in our past and every sin in our future was erased when Jesus died. And no longer are we slaves to sin. We're free. We are free from the penalty of sin, free from the guilt and shame of sin, and free from the power of sin. Sin has a power over us that when we get caught in sin, we tend to go downhill and things are very sad. And when we're released from that power of sin, we have joy and we have excitement. So I have a gift for you guys to take along. And it's, I'm going to put them on this picture and you can grab them from there. But these are, if you ever played Ants in Your Pants, these are kind of like the ants. But they have a message on them and it says, jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus. And I think of jumping for joy with Jesus. So please take a frog with you. And if you really want to, you can take a Swiffer along
yes,
to use
please.
At home.
Yes,
these
please.
Are awesome.
I definitely need
so thanks for coming up for my children's story. Sure. You may take one. Come.
You know, one of the joys I have of being able to sit up front is hearing the people behind me sing. That is such a blessing every single Sunday. So thank you for all you singing out this morning and making a beautiful sound to the Lord. You ever think you know somebody, and it turns out they're not the person you thought they were? You've been friends for years. You know everything about each other, the likes, the dislikes, the little quirks that drive you crazy. And then one day you find out something you never knew before. That's kind of what it's like with Jesus in our scripture today. Many of us grew up in the church and we think we really know him. He's the guy who walked on water. He changed water into wine. And he started that whole golden rule thing. Others know him as a good man who gave lots of great advice on how to live. Still others, Jesus' love. We're told to love God and love your enemies. You know, the whole for God so loved the world kind of thing. But life goes on. And it turns out the more we think we know Jesus, the more we realize how little we actually know. The more we learn, the more we understand. He's not just some baby in a manger. He's not just this historic figure who taught us how to live. In fact, in chapter 8, Jesus seems to be challenging people's belief to help them see they only see who they want to see, not the actual Jesus. So in this last part of chapter 8, Jesus digs beneath the surface. He reveals the truth, the heart of who he is. So friends, are you ready? Are you stoked to know the actual Jesus? Let's turn to verses 31 to 38 and listen in.
To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered.
One of the many things I love about Jesus is he doesn't keep you guessing. Jesus tells it like it is. Notice he says, to the people who believed in him. Now, church growth gurus would tell you not to ruffle the feathers of people already in your camp. But friends, if nothing else today, hear this. Jesus does not simply want acquaintances. Jesus wants disciples. It started last week with the phrase, Jesus abiding in us. Friends, that means to dwell, to remain, to endure, and to be present. If the words of the gospel just bounce off of us and they don't actually take root, they're not truly abiding. But friends, when those words do remain, there's actual discipleship. We're following after Jesus. We're listening to his every word. We're surrendered, we are obedient, and we're applying his truth to our lives. And what happens is we become disciples making disciples. And guess what? That is exactly what Jesus wants. Not the "we like you now, so we'll hang out with you" kind of relationship, like these unbelieving folks that we've heard about. Now these verses come to life before our very eyes. They read, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Is there anyone free in the church today? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. There's no other better way to feel than free in Christ. But these people, who in the Greek are the Jewish people, They didn't like that word free. We could easily say it sparked a response. They're like, we're all about being free, Jesus. What's your problem? But in fact, friends, these unbelieving people were the most stubborn, the most independent people that you would ever meet. You see, it seems like ever since God rescued them from Egypt, they resented being ruled by anyone, including God himself. But friends, therein lies the problem. God did not set them free so they could chart their own courses in the universe. As a matter of fact, he freed them so they could be a part of his kingdom. And friends, he's doing the exact same thing today. But God gave them what they wanted. You don't want to belong to me? Then here's the worldly kings and kingdoms. So now these people are locked in to Rome and all of their political undercurrents. It's probably why they reacted so quickly. What do you mean we're not free? The problem is Jesus wasn't talking about physical or political freedom. Jesus is talking about spiritual freedom. The kind of freedom from sin and the grip of the enemy. But friends, what they think they need, what they want to see in Jesus is someone who frees their nation. Yet isn't that somewhat true of us? Often what we think we need isn't what we need at all. That Snickers bar never really satisfies, does it? Those new shoes, that new house, new job, the change in hair color, that beach vacation, you know what? It'll take you so far. At the bottom of the line, we're left wanting more. And friends, today, let's realize that only Jesus can meet our needs. He's the one that's truly enough. Let's continue, verses 39 to 47.
Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I am telling the truth. Why do you not believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God.
Jesus is laying it on thick, but he's keeping it real. You see, friends, if we do anything outside of the character of God, we sin. Jesus says if we know who we're supposed to know, we're going to act accordingly. The law was always supposed to point to Jesus, but the Jews pointed elsewhere to their own system of rules they created. Can you see the problem? If they were truly children of Abraham, Jesus' words would have abided with them as absolute truth. So the critical point for us is this. It's only by the Son of Man, this is the way Jesus often referred to himself, that you can become free from sin. And you can be related to God through the purchased blood of Christ. What the scripture is saying is this, and it's difficult truth to hear. But friends, until you are born again into the family of God, you don't belong to him. He said if God were their father, they would have loved him. But how many times do we love the world more? Our speech, our actions prove who and what we love. These people claim to be Abraham's children, yet they're not doing what their father did. You see, around the world, anyone can claim Jesus, but it's a whole other story to live and to love like Jesus. Jesus tells them they're acting like their real father, the devil. Now, we remember him wanting to be like God. As a matter of fact, he wanted to exalt himself above God. And friends, when we decide we know better than God, that we can decide our own fate, aren't we doing the exact same thing? So it's starting to get a bit too personal for these people. So listen to how they respond in verses 48 to 59.
The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," Jesus said, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
It does not get any more ridiculous than this. These Jewish people resort to name-calling since they have no real arguments against Jesus. If we haven't noticed already, it reveals their true character. They actually call him a Samaritan, which isn't a real Jew. And they go as far to call him demon-possessed. Friends, it's starting to get a bit dangerous. That spark is turning to fire, and they're now out for blood. But the reality is this. Satan and his demons only serve themselves. They despise God. But Jesus makes it oh so perfectly clear that he's not possessed, but he obeys the Father with all he is. But he doesn't make it any easier on himself. And he goes and he says he is greater than anyone who ever lived. It's true that he could even stop death, but this was entirely difficult for them to hear, let alone understand. It's no wonder they were thinking he's deluded. He's possessed, a liar, or could it be Jesus is right? When he says Abraham saw his day and rejoiced, are you sitting there wondering what in the world is all of that about? Friends, here's what we can know. The rabbis taught that Abraham was aware of the future of his descendants, including the coming of the Messiah. So he can say he looked forward to the coming of Jesus. We can also know God gave Abraham the promise of an everlasting covenant and a blessing to all nations, which was brought through the Messiah. And finally, there's this little bit of information. Remember that prophetic message, that promise in Genesis 22:8? It read, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Friends, this is what we call a clear messianic promise. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He makes this unmistakable claim that even before Abraham lived, he existed. Now, try to wrap your head around that as you're standing there listening to his words. What he's doing is using the Greek ego eimi. It's the equivalent of Yahweh in Hebrew. In other words, I am. You see, he was claiming to be God. And these people weren't too excited about that. And they actually picked up stones and were going to try to kill him. So friends, today our question is this. Are you a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or are you just a distant acquaintance? The gospel at first might sound like a foreign language. But if you listen closely, you follow Jesus closely, it becomes the native language of our heart. A language that we can begin to understand. Is it no wonder in the world we live that discussions about Jesus can spark hard feelings? Yet, friends, all we need to do is live our lives as visible Christians and not fear sharing the hope within us. Would you pray with me? God, you are in all, you are through all, and you are above all. And today, Lord, we surrender to you as Lord of our lives. We don't want to be just an acquaintance. We want to know you deeply. We want to be followers. We want to be disciples. We want to make disciples. So, Lord, guide us, direct us, help us be visible followers that others may know your incredible, unconditional love. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord Christ, in the church, my God.
Friends, this is an exciting day. Amen. We don't have to follow Jesus. We get to follow Jesus. And if you've been following Jesus for a very long time, you know how exciting and how fulfilling that can be. But today, if you're willing, I'd offer this prayer for us. With arms outstretched towards God, let us repeat these words. Lord, I surrender.
Lord, I surrender.
I give my life to you. And I want to live every moment as a blessing to others. May it be so. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.